Chapter 72. Shadows of the past and future, your most obedient, sir, apostrophe said the major. Damn, sir, a friend of my friend Dombey's is a friend of mine, and I'm glad to see you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am infinitely obliged. Carker, apostrophe explained Mr. Dombey to Major Backstock for his company and conversation. Major Backstock has rendered me great service, Carker. Apostrophe, Mr. Carker the manager, hat in hand, just arrived at Leamington, and just introduced to the major, showed the major his whole double range of teeth, and trusted he might take the liberty of thanking him with all his heart for having effected so great an improvement in Mr. Dombey's looks and spirits. By gad, sir, apostrophe said the major, in reply, there are no thanks due to me, for it's a give and take affair. A great creature like our friend Dombey, sir, apostrophe said the major, lowering his voice, but not lowering it so much as to render it inaudible to that gentleman, cannot help improving and exalting his friends. He strengthens and invigorates a man, sir, does Dombey, in his moral nature. Apostrophe, Mr. Carker snapped at the expression. In his moral nature. Exactly. The very words he had been on the point of suggesting. But when my friend Dombey, sir, apostrophe added the major, talks to you of Major Backstock, I must crave leave to set a man new right. He means plain Joe, Sir Joey B. Josh. Backstock Joseph Ruff and tough old J. Sir. At your service. Apostrophe, Mr. Carker's excessively friendly inclinations towards the major, and Mr. Carker's admiration of his roughness, toughness, and plainness, gleamed out of every tooth in Mr. Carker's head. And now, sir, apostrophe said the major, you and Dombey have the devil's own amount of business to talk over. Apostrophe, by no means, major, apostrophe observed Mr. Dombey. Dombey, apostrophe said the major, defiantly, I know better, a man of your mark the Colossus of Commerce is not to be interrupted. Your moments are precious. We shall meet at dinner time. In the interval, old Joseph will be scarce. The dinner hour is a sharp 7, Mr. Carker. Apostrophe, with that, the major, greatly swollen as to his face, withdrew, but immediately putting in his head at the door again, said, I beg your pardon. Dombey, have you any message to him? Apostrophe, Mr. Dombey in some embarrassment, and not without a glance at the courteous keeper of his business confidence, entrusted the major with his compliments. By the Lord, sir, apostrophe said the major, you must make it something warmer than that, or old Joe will be far from welcome. Apostrophe, regards then, if you will, major, apostrophe returned Mr. Dombey. Damn, sir, apostrophe said the major, shaking his shoulders and his great cheeks jocularly. Make it something warmer than that. Apostrophe, what you please then, major, apostrophe observed Mr. Dombey. Our friend is sly, sir, devilish sly, apostrophe said the major, staring round the door at Carker. So is Backstock. Apostrophe but stopping in the midst of a chuckle, and drawing himself up to his full height, the major solemnly exclaimed, as he struck himself on the chest, Dombey, I envy your feelings. God bless you. Apostrophe and withdrew. You must have found the gentleman a great resource, apostrophe said Carker, following him with his teeth. Very great indeed, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey. He has friends here, no doubt, apostrophe pursued Carker. I perceive, from what he has said, that you go into society here. Do you know, apostrophe smiling horribly, I am so very glad, that you go into society. Apostrophe, Mr. Dombey acknowledged this display of interest on the part of his second in command, by twirling his watch chain, and slightly moving his head. You were formed for society, apostrophe said Carker. Of all the men I know, you are the best adapted, by nature and by position, for society. Do you know I have been frequently amazed that you should have held it at arm's length so long? Apostrophe, I have had my reasons, Carker. I have been alone and indifferent to it. But you have great social qualifications yourself, and are the more likely to have been surprised. Apostrophe O. I. Apostrophe returned the other, with ready self-disparagement. It's quite another matter in the case of a man like me. I don't come into comparison with you. Apostrophe, Mr. Domney put his hand to his neckcloth, settled his chin in it, coughed, and stood looking at his faithful friend and servant for a few moments in silence. I shall have the pleasure, Carker, apostrophe said Mr. Domney at length, making as if he swallowed something a little too large for his throat, to present you to my two the major's friends. Highly agreeable people. Apostrophe, ladies among them, I presume? Apostrophe, apostrophe insinuated the smooth manager. They are all that is to say, they are both ladies, apostrophe replied Mr. Domney. Only two? Apostrophe, apostrophe smiled Carker. They are only two. I have confined my visits to their residence, and have made no other acquaintance here. Apostrophe, sisters, perhaps? Apostrophe, apostrophe quoth Carker. Mother and daughter, apostrophe replied Mr. Domney. As Mr. Domney dropped his eyes, and adjusted his neckcloth again, the smiling face of Mr. Carker the manager became in a moment, and without any stage of transition, transformed into a most intent and frowning face, scanning his closely, and with an ugly sneer. As Mr. Domney raised his eyes, it changed back, no less quickly, to its old expression, and showed him every gum of which it stood possessed. You are very kind, apostrophe said Carker, I shall be delighted to know them. Speaking of daughters, I have seen Miss Domney. Apostrophe, there was a sudden rush of blood to Mr. Domney's face. I took the liberty of waiting on her, apostrophe said Carker, to inquire if she could charge me with any little commission. I am not so fortunate as to be the bearer of any but her butter dear love. Apostrophe, Wolf's face, that it was then, with even the hot tongue revealing itself through the stretched mouth, as the eyes encountered Mr. Domney's. What business intelligence is there? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired the latter gentleman, after a silence, during which Mr. Carker had produced some memoranda and other papers. There is very little, apostrophe returned Carker. Upon the whole we have not had our usual good fortune of late, but that is of little moment to you. At Lloyd's, they give up the son and heir for lost. Well, she was insured, from her keel to her masthead. Apostrophe, Carker, apostrophe said Mr. Domney, taking a chair near him, I cannot say that young man, Gay, ever impressed me favorably, nor me, apostrophe interposed the manager. But I wish, apostrophe said Mr. Domney, without heeding the interruption, he had never gone on board that ship. I wish he had never been sent out. It is a pity you didn't say so, in good time, is it not? Apostrophe, apostrophe retorted Carker, coolly. However, I think it's all for the best. I really think it's all for the best. Did I mention that there was something like a little confidence between Miss Domney and myself? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, apostrophe said Mr. Domney, sternly. I have no doubt, apostrophe returned Mr. Carker, after an impressive pause, that wherever Gay is, he is much better where he is, than at home here. If I were, or could be, in your place, I should be satisfied of that. I am quite satisfied of it myself. Miss Domney is confiding, and young perhaps hardly proud enough, for your daughter, if she have a fault. Not that that is much though, I am sure. Will you check these balances with me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Domney leaned back in his chair, instead of bending over the papers that were laid before him, and looked the manager steadily in the face. The manager, with his eyelids slightly raised, affected to be glancing at his figures, and to await the leisure of his principal. He showed that he affected this, as if from great delicacy, and with a design, to spare Mr. Domney's feelings, and the latter, as he looked at him, was cognizant of his intended consideration, and felt that but for it, this confidential carker would have said a great deal more, which he, Mr. Dombey, was too proud to ask for. It was his way in business, often. Little by little, Mr. Dombey's gaze relaxed, and his attention became diverted to the papers before him. But while busy with the occupation they afforded him, he frequently stopped and looked at Mr. Carker again. Whenever he did so, Mr. Carker was demonstrative, as before, in his delicacy, and impressed it on his great chief more and more. While they were thus engaged, and under the skillful culture of the manager, angry thoughts in reference to poor Florence brooded and bred in Mr. Dombey's breast, usurping the place of the cold dislike that generally reigned there. Major Bagstock, much admired by the old ladies of Leamington, and followed by the native, carrying the usual amount of light baggage, straddled along the shady side of the way to make a morning call on Mrs. Skewton. It being midday when the Major reached the bower of Cleopatra, he had the good fortune to find his princess on her usual sofa, languishing over a cup of coffee, with the room so darkened and shaded for her more luxurious repose, that Withers, who was in attendance on her, loomed like a phantom page. What insupportable creature is this, coming in? " said Mrs. Skewton, I cannot hear it. Go away, whoever you are. You have not the heart to banish J.B., ma'am. " said the Major, halting midway, to remonstrate, with his cane over his shoulder. Oh, it's you, is it? On second thoughts, you may enter, " observed Cleopatra. The Major entered accordingly, and advancing to the sofa, pressed her charming hand to his lips. Sit down, " said Cleopatra, listlessly waving her fan, a long way off. Don't come too near me, for I am frightfully faint and sensitive this morning, and you smell of the sun. You are absolutely tropical. " by George, ma'am, " said the Major, the time has been when Joseph Bagstock has been grilled and blistered by the sun. Then time was, when he was forced, ma'am, into such full blow, by high hothouse heat in the West Indies, that he was known as the Flower. A man never heard of Bagstock, ma'am, in those days. He heard of the Flower of ours. The Flower may have faded, more or less, ma'am, " observed the Major, dropping into a much nearer chair than had been indicated by his cruel divinity, but it is a tough plant yet, and constant as the evergreen. " Here the Major, under cover of the dark room, shut up one eye, rolled his head like a harlequin, and, in his great self-satisfaction, perhaps went nearer to the confines of apoplexy than he had ever gone before. Where is Mrs. Granger? " inquired Cleopatra of her page. Withers believed she was in her own room. Very well, " said Mrs. Skewton. Go away, and shut the door. I am engaged. As Withers disappeared, Mrs. Skewton turned her head languidly towards the Major, without otherwise moving, and asked him how his friend was. Dombey, ma'am, " returned the Major, with a facetious gurgling in his throat, is as well as a man in his condition can be. His condition is a desperate one, ma'am. He is touched, is Dombey. Touched. " cried the Major. He is bayoneted through the body. Cleopatra cast a sharp look at the Major that contrasted forcibly with the affected drawl in which he presently said, Major Bagstock, although I know but little of the world, nor can I really regret my experience, for I fear it is a false place, full of withering conventionalities. Where nature is but little regarded, and where the music of the heart, and the gushing of the soul, and all that sort of thing, which is so truly poetical, is seldom heard, I cannot misunderstand your meaning. There is an allusion to Edith to my extremely dear child, " said Mrs. Skewton, tracing the outline of her eyebrows with her forefinger, in your words, to which the tenderest of chords vibrates excessively. " Bluntness, Ma'am, apostrophe return to major has ever been a characteristic of the backstock breed. You are right. Joe admits it. Apostrophe and that illusion, apostrophe pursued Cleopatra, would involve one of the most, if not positively the most touching, and thrilling, and sacred emotions of which our sadly fallen nature is susceptible, I conceive. Apostrophe, the major laid his hand upon his lips, and wafted a kiss to Cleopatra, as if to identify the emotion in question. I feel that I am weak. I feel that I am wanting in that energy, which should sustain a mama, not to say a parent. On such a subject, apostrophe said Mrs. Skewton, trimming her lips with the laced edge of her pocket handkerchief. But I can hardly approach a topic so excessively momentous to my dearest Edith without a feeling of faintness. Nevertheless, bad man, as you have boldly remarked upon it, and as it has occasioned me great anguish. Mrs. Skewton touched her left side with her fan. I will not shrink from my duty. Apostrophe, the major, under cover of the dimness, swelled, and swelled, and rolled his purple face about, and winked his lobster eye, until he fell into a fit of wheezing, which obliged him to rise, and take a turn or two about the room, before his fair friend could proceed. Mr. Dombey, apostrophe said Mrs. Skewton, when she at length resumed, was obliging enough, now many weeks ago, to do us the honor of visiting us here, in company, my dear Major, with yourself. I acknowledge, let me be open, that it is my failing, to be the creature of impulse, and to wear my heart as it were, outside. I know my failing full well. My enemy cannot know it better. But I am not penitent. I would rather not be frozen by the heartless world, and am content to bear this imputation justly. Apostrophe, Mrs. Skewton arranged her tucker, pinched her wiry throat to give it a soft surface, and went on, with great complacency. It gave me, my dearest Edith, to, I am sure, infinite pleasure to receive Mr. Dombey. As a friend of yours, my dear Major, we were... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.